Do you need help with your journey following Jesus? Has your Bible reading brought up some interesting questions?
I need a prayer request.
I've heard pastors talk about you can't get to heaven just with good deeds.
I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there a correlation between the seventh trumpet and Revelations as the last trumpet, or is he talking about some other trumpet?
Finally, a place to get answers. We're ready to take your prayer request and answer your Bible questions. Call in at 303-690-3000. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
This is Calvary Live, and welcome to today's broadcast. So glad that you've joined us. My name is Jeff Figs. I pastor Calvary Chapel Greeley. I'm with you on this Monday. It is 1 week till Christmas. It's the 18th of December. I pray you're doing well. It's a wonderful time of the year as we head towards the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So give me a call. You're invited to call in. This is the show where you do get to call as you are listening at 303-690-3000. That'll get you to me to ask your questions and to be able to give your prayer requests. And we got all open lines right now. Grab one of those open lines early as the show goes on. The lines tend to fill up. And I want to be able to take your call. So give me a call. All open lines, 303-690-3000 is that call-in number. Welcome to Calvary Live again on this Monday afternoon, evening. Perhaps if you're on the East Coast, and love to talk to you about the things of the Lord. Love to just pray for you this Christmas season to be able to encourage you. 303-690-3000, all open lines right now. On this Monday, I want to welcome all those who are listening on Grace FM, Two Signals, Southern Colorado, and Pueblo, and Fountain, and Colorado Springs. Love to hear from you guys. Got so many good friends down there in Colorado Springs. That's where I began my ministry, was down in Colorado Springs. So I'd love to hear from you. And then 89.7, powerful signal up here in Northern Colorado from Parker, Castle Rock up through the metro area of Denver, along the Front Range, Boulder, Longmont, Fort Collins, Greeley, up into southern Wyoming, Cheyenne, and Laramie. Grace FM covers 80% of the population in Colorado. So welcome. So glad that you have joined us. Give me a call, 303-690-3000. Got all open lines right now. Love to talk to you. Love to wish you a very blessed and Merry Christmas. I'd love to just be able to answer your questions and pray with you today on the program. So all open lines. You got that number. Put those numbers in your contact so you can just pull up Calvary Live during, you know, the program today, or as we will continue Calvary Live in the new year. You have all that information that is there. And the text line is a different way for you to be able to give a question or ask a question or ask for prayer. It's a dedicated text line only. No one will answer that line. You can't leave a message. It's for texting only. It's primarily for prayer requests that come in. And the prayer team at Calvary Church in Aurora, where Grace FM originates, will be praying for you. But during the show, we will go to the text line in between calls, and we will pray for you or answer your questions. That number is 720-336-0897. So call in number 303-690-3000. This is your program where you get to call in. Love to talk to you about the things that the Lord, pray with you, answer your questions. So give me a call. I want to also welcome all those who are listening live today on this Monday that are listening on Radio by Grace, 73 signals across the United States. You're listening live, and love for you to be able to call in. And then those who are listening online, and I always want to say hello because it's a growing audience. And those of you who perhaps have the Grace FM, app that you can download for free on your smartphones or on your tablets or listening on the World Wide Web, you can call in at anywhere in the United States. We've gotten calls from Alaska and Hawaii, up in the northeast, the northwest, California, all around the country, because you're listening online. So 303-690-3000 is that call-in number. Give me a call. I'll open lines right now. I know this is a busy time of the year, but take a minute out to ask for prayer or to ask your questions. And let's talk about the things of the Lord. That's what makes Calvary Life such a unique program, because we get to talk about Jesus. We get to talk about the Word of God. We get to talk about the things of the Lord. What is our worldview of the things that we see going on around us? It has been quite a year, hasn't it? A lot of things taking place. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of challenges that are out there. But we also know that God is working as well. And we want to encourage you in the things of the Lord that He's working in your life, that He desires to just minister His grace and love to you. So 303-690-3000. Also want to give a shout out to Hope FM, 21 signals on the East Coast. I want to remind you on Hope FM that you're a week delayed, as well as Truth FM and Higher Rock Radio, that it's in Idaho, Meridian, Idaho, and then Living Water Radio in Corpus Christi, Texas, and then The Way Radio in Kingman, Arizona. You're a week delayed, so when you hear this broadcast next week, it will be Christmas, so I want to wish you a very blessed and merry Christmas. Pray that the Lord is filling your heart with joy and peace and goodwill, those things that we are talking about this time of the year. So got some open lines. 303-690-3000 is the call-in number. Let's go to Elijah. Hi, Elijah.
Hi there, Pastor Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, so my question, or I guess more so, something I've been wrestling with is, I have a lot of just family members who, you know, say that they believe in Jesus, profess Christ, but their lives just really don't reflect the faith that they profess. I kind of grew up in like a cultural Christianity setting, mm-hmm. And was born again 3 years ago, and just experienced, you know, all the fruits of a genuine salvation and repentance. And I guess I can just kind of be left sitting, questioning and wrestling with, like, man, are my friends and family really saved? So I guess I was just looking for some wisdom in that and how to approach it.
Yeah, and you said a couple words that are important as you express how you've become a believer. Salvation and repentance. Repentance is a part of salvation, the gospel message. The very first thing that Jesus said was to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it doesn't mean that we are going to be sinless, but there is, as a believer, and you've heard perhaps the saying, there are believers, there are unbelievers, and then there are make-believers. And a person can profess to be a Christian. I've heard people say, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christians, or I'm a Christian because I belong to the church. I'm a Christian because I give to the church, or I'm a good person, or I've even heard people say, I'm a Christian because I'm an American. We know that doesn't make you a Christian. It's truly being born again by the Spirit of God. And there should be some evidence of that in a person's life, a living faith. It's not a dead faith, but a living faith, and that is, there's conviction. There is a desire of the things of the Lord, because regeneration takes place. And so usually if somebody says, I'm a Christian, and they're living so carnally, we can't judge a person's heart, can we? The Lord is the only one that really knows the heart, but we can judge the works. And for me, when somebody says I'm a Christian, but they're living after the world, they're partying, their language, I tend to treat them as an unbeliever. And we can challenge them. Do you really believe? What does it mean to you to be a Christian? What does it mean, your faith, to you? And a lot of times by the answer, you know, if they say, well, it just means we can live any way that we want, do what we want, really they don't understand the gospel. The gospel has the power to change. And I believe that, when somebody comes to the Lord, particularly when they come out of a lot of sin and carnality, it can be a battle, it can be a struggle. but there's a living faith that is there, a seed of it that is alive, that is growing, a conviction that is there, and a desire to grow in the things of the Lord. So we can't judge a person's heart, but we can judge their works, and we can challenge those who say that I'm a Christian, because certainly we talk to people who say they're a Christian, but do they really have a living faith? Do they really believe in the Lord? Is there repentance that is in their life? And we are, you know, there is fruit that is to abound. You spoke about fruit, experiencing the fruit of, and the greatest of the fruit that is produced, as Galatians says, is love. Even as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, a love for God and a love for others. And I know for me, Elijah, when I got saved, that there was instantly, it was like my heart changed. I didn't care for people. I had a mouth that, you know, that was very worldly. I didn't care about the things of God. And when I got saved, I couldn't believe that God would love me and that God would save me. And my heart was touched. And then hearing the word of God, it was just like, and there's been a lot of growth. There was a lot of growth. There was a lot of that process of sanctification, but regeneration takes place as we're born again. So I think that, again, we can judge a person's works. We can't judge their hearts. And there are those out there that say, well, I'm a Christian, and we can challenge them. What does it mean that you're a Christian? And, you know, do you have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? So that's kind of where we can minister to others and bring that challenge to others about when they say they're a Christian.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I guess just one more kind of follow-up question to that. In terms of approaching maybe a loved one who's older than you, maybe, you know, parents or an uncle or grandparents, how would you go about that? Because obviously, you know, you want to respect them and love them and honor them. But there's also a sense of urgency because I just want them to truly be saved, you know, and I don't want to offend them, but I also understand that the gospel can be offensive. And so how would you approach that for somebody older?
Yeah. And I think you got good instincts. I really do, because you don't want to just go in offending and blasting. And, you know, those who are older, I've talked to those who are older and they say that, well, I belong to the church and I've been a good, whatever, Baptist, Episcopal, Presbyterian, whatever it might be. And they think that makes them a Christian. And, you know, what's this Bible? I don't need this Bible stuff. So you want to go with a caring heart. And I can sense that in your voice, Elijah, that you want to honor them. And you tell them, listen, I love you. I respect you as a relative, as an elder. But this is important. And I want you to know that I care about you enough to tell you that this is the gospel and this is what the word of God has to say. And this is what the Lord, oftentimes I will tell them, this is what the Lord means to me. And just pray about it before you go. I think praying, a lot of times when I feel like, or I sense that the Lord is leading me to go talk to somebody, that I'll pray about, I'll soak it in prayer. And Lord, just take the blindness away, soften their hearts, open their ears spiritually, open up their eyes spiritually, and talk about the goodness of the Lord and take them to the cross. That's where you take them. And I remember Elijah, my dad, he was a good man. He never went to church. He wasn't a believer. He worked hard for a family. And I remember talking to him and I wanted to honor him. I wanted to respect him. He did his best in raising us kids and providing for our family. And I said, Dad, you're a good man, but you're not good enough. And that's why Jesus came to die for you. And those were the seeds that were planted for him. Because sometimes people will fall back, well, I'm a good person, especially those of the older generation that have worked hard. you know, provided for their family, been a good spouse or, you know, a good parent, whatever it might be. But I told Dad, I said, Dad, you're not good enough. And that's why Jesus came, for them to understand that he came to die for all of us. And he didn't come to die for good people. He came to die for sinners. And that includes us. And that was the seed that was planted. And when he was in his 60s, almost 70, he came to a service at Calvary Chapel and he raised his hand to receive Christ. And I'm very grateful for that. So keep giving them the goodness of the Lord, the provision of the Lord. Tell them that he came to die for you specifically because of his love for you. And let the gospel, and here's the thing, Elijah, you know this, there's power in the gospel. That's one of the things I've been really reiterating to my fellowship. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God. And let it do its work. And as you do, it's like Spurgeon said, it's like a line, just let it out, you know, let it do its thing. And let the gospel do its work in his heart and do it out of a heart of love and just concern and caring. And people really can sense that. And I'm sure you've heard the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And just to do it with that voice of, you know, I do want to honor you. You mean so much to me, but I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven with me. And I think that that's well received as you go with that kind of mindset and that kind of heart.
Yeah. Thank you. That was very helpful. I really appreciate it.
And, you know, those are good reminders, not only for you, for me, but for all of us that are listening today, because in, you know, a few days, a lot of us are going to be meeting with family. We're going to be with family. We're going to be with friends at Christmas. And it is a great time of the year to share that Christmas story, why Jesus came. Because the story in itself, a babe born in Bethlehem, put into a manger, makes for a cute, you know, kind of story to some people. I've had people, oh, that's such a cute story, such a wonderful story, but it's a magnificent story that God would even care about us to send his son to this world. And there was a purpose why he came, and that was he was going to go to a cross. And so it's a great time of the year to bring that up and be able to share to others.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, can I pray for you?
Please. Yes. Thank you.
Father, I pray for Elijah. I just pray as he shares with his family he cares about. And Lord, we know we can't tell a person's heart when they say they're a Christian, but we can minister to them. And we can minister what your word says. And Lord, I just pray that you give him the words to speak to his family, that you give him the words and to bless them with the gospel, and that you would touch their hearts and truly they would come to a saving faith and they would understand that Jesus died for them specifically and individually. And Lord, that their eyes would be opened up and the blindfold taken away if they're blinded in any way to the gospel. And Lord, I do pray that you would just guide his words and that the Holy Spirit would draw them to you, to a saving faith, to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank
Blessings
you so much, Pastor Jeff.
You bet. You have a Merry Christmas, okay?
You as well.
All right. 303-690-3000 is the call-in number. We are going to be around family and friends. It's a great time, number one, to really give the gospel, why Jesus truly came. And it's so incredible to think that God would care about us, to send his son to give us hope, a living hope, that would come through the birth and life, but come through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so incredible. And then second of all, be sure to invite as Christmas Eve services, Christmas weekend services. A lot of churches are having weekend services like we are on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday, Christmas Eve. Invite them so they can hear the gospel and hear the wonderful news that the light of the world has come. And invite someone, invite as many people as you can to those services to hear the gospel. So more people are open to hear it now than any other time during the year. 303-690-3000 is that call-in number. I believe we got an open line. Text line 720-336-0897. Let's go to Antoinette. Did I say that right?
Yes, Pastor Jeff.
There's
Antoinette,
a Toinette.
Like Marie Antoinette.
Yeah. How are you?
Hi. Great. I'm in a wonderful Bible-teaching church in Mount Laurel, Cornerstone. Our pastor is fabulous. I've never learned so much about having a relationship with God as I have in the last 2 years being born again. So in this learning stage, I don't always want to bombard our people, so I look to you at times, too.
Yes.
I'm just confused, and I have two questions. So I'm just confused about the name of Jesus. In Isaiah, he is to be called Emmanuel. In Matthew, the angel says to Mary to call him Jesus. So can you help me out, especially at this time of year with celebration of his birth? How is his name not Emmanuel?
Well, his name is Emmanuel, and I'm going to read it from Matthew's gospel, because I was looking at this right before the show, and I think you're asking a good question, because Joseph was told, "Son of David, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken through the prophet, and you made reference to it, Isaiah, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." So what the prophet was told back in Isaiah, Ahaz was a terrible king. Isaiah comes to him and says, "Ahaz, listen, seek the Lord." And he wouldn't do that. "Ask for a sign." And he wouldn't do that because he wasn't right with the Lord. And he says that the Lord's going to give you a sign that, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Do you know what Emmanuel means?
God is with us.
Yeah, God is with
us.
God
among us.
Exactly. Yeah, God is with us. So that is his name, that God is going to be born in the person of Jesus. Now, that you do you know what the name Jesus means? Yeshua.
Yeshua, right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it means.
It means the Lord thy salvation. So as I read this in Matthew, that you know, Joseph, Mary is going to have a son conceived of the Holy Spirit. You shall call him Jesus. Back at that time, you know, they were looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking for that hope. There had been 400 years of the silent years where there was no prophet in the land between Malachi and when the time that John the Baptist was born, or Zacharias was in the temple, and Gabriel says that you're going to have a son, the forerunner to Messiah, and then the angel coming to Mary saying you're going to bring forth the Son of God, and Joseph here, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And so there was lots of babies that were named Jesus at that time, or Yeshua at that time, the Lord thy salvation. But Joseph, this is the one who's really going to do it. This is the one that heaven is naming Jesus, the Lord thy salvation. Right. He's the one that's truly going to do it. And it is a fulfillment of what of Isaiah, that she's going to bear forth a son, and his name's going to bear, not that everybody was calling him Emmanuel. We sing that song, Emmanuel. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth. But God with us, and that is so incredible that God is with us. And that was such an important message, because Joseph at this time, he was so afraid. I mean, here he is.
Right.
He's betrothed to an incredible, just spiritually mature young lady. Mary was probably about 16 years of age. And all of a sudden she comes up pregnant. And he's thinking to put her away secretly. And he gets this message, no, don't do that. Don't do that, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he needed to know that God was with him. And when Jesus was born, it was a scary time. I mean, Rome ruled. Herod the Great was ruling over Judea. He was a terrible, wicked king. Even the religious leaders were terrible. And they needed to know that Emmanuel, God is with us. And I think that's such an important message for today. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. And he is with us in these difficult days and uncertainty, and knowing that Jesus came, the Lord thy salvation, that he's the one that really did it. And there was a reason why he came. He went to a cross to die for our sins. So as you put the two together, his name is Emmanuel, God in the person of Jesus. And, you know, I imagine those angels on that Christmas night that looked down into the face of God himself, and they broke out in praise. So wonder they said, peace, goodwill towards men. And it's just a magnificent, magnificent story.
I can't even comprehend that. The glory, I can't even comprehend it, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very wonderful.
Pastor Jeff, I just have one other question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am born again, going into my second year in April and 2024, but I was a Catholic for my entire adult life. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I go around like a crazy person, you know, sharing or imposing different things on my friends, my family, my neighbors. But when things come up that are in the secular news sources, you know, I bring that to their attention. And the latest part that I try to show them, and this is one of many this year, how Pope Francis is now condoning the blessing of same-sex marriages as long as it's not under certain criteria. And I forwarded that to really close friends that, you know, I'm sorry to say, I'm gentle. I'm sorry to send this to you, but I just want you to see what the Catholic Church, what's happening. And I'm met with such, I mean, I'm losing everybody. They're telling me not to judge. I'm like, I'm not judging. This is the leader of millions of people.
Yeah.
And he's completely going against God. He's going against scripture.
Yeah. And it's hard. And I can hear it in your voice, but we're going to go to break, but I want you to hold. And the reason is because I just want to give you some things to think about and encourage you as you minister to your Catholic friends and family, because I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I would feel some of the same things that you are expressing right now and how to be able to minister to them. And we do, you know, we read those things. We know that it's not scriptural. It's not based on the Word of God. And so if you just hold, and if you can't, I'll answer it after the break, but we're going to hear the music. And I just want to follow up with you. I don't want to rush you through this, because this is important for you, and to be able to minister to you, your friends, and how you can effectively do that. So we're going to be right back. We got open lines, 303-690-3000 is the call-in number. Connie, we'll go to you as well. I know you're waiting to be for prayer. Text line 720-336-0897.
Welcome back to Calvary Live. Give us a call at 303-690-3000 or text us at 720-336-0897. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
Welcome back to the second half of Calvary Live. Jeff Biggs at Calvary Chapel Greeley with you here in Northern Colorado with you on this Monday evening. I'm so glad to be with you. Blessed to be with you. When somebody hangs up, there's an open line. 303-690-3000 is that call-in number. And then the text line is 720-336-0897. We were in the middle of something with Antoinette in New Jersey. Are you still there with me?
I certainly am, Pastor Jeff. Thank you.
And I appreciate you holding, because I understand the frustration in that. I remember when, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church and began to go to a Calvary Chapel, and truly became born again, and my family, and just going through the Word of God. It was the first time that I heard the Word of God spoken, and there was power in the Word of God. So the question is, and you see, it isn't just for, it's for unbelieving friends, or it's not just the Catholic Church, and they're looking at it as, because in the Catholic Church, they're looking at the Pope as their leader and their spiritual authority. And what we want to get people to understand is the Bible is the final authority, what the Bible has to say. So you speak the truth in love, and you can send articles to them, but what you want to do is you want to follow up, and maybe you do this, you want to follow up with the gospel, you want to follow up with the truth of God's word. And I was speaking about that to my congregation. We're doing a series, Behold, the Days Are Coming. And the week before last, one of the messages that I did was deception in the church in the last days. There's a lot of deception that's out there. And it's in independent churches, it's in denominational churches, even can be in non-denominational churches as well. The gospel is not proclaimed. There's progressive theology. There's all kinds of things that are out there. And Paul warned about this last day's deception in his last words that he gave to the church in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said it's going to be perilous times. In the last chapter, the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We also know that Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he would say that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies, hypocrisy. So we're seeing that today, aren't we? We're seeing that culture is really infiltrated the church. And what we want to do, the question is, how do we reach our loved ones? How do we reach, our friends and family that are believing the lies, believing doctrines of demons, that believing that was deceptive? Because Paul says there are going to be those who have a form of godliness but denying its power. You need to turn away. There's those of counterfeit. There's those of corrupt mind, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you need to understand that evil men and imposters are going to grow worse and worse. So that's the last day's deception that we're seeing. What we do with that? What we do with that, he says, this is what you do. You must continue in the scriptures. And I think you know this. And I think you're probably, this is your desire to give them truth. What you do is you pray for them. You give them the gospel, take them to the goodness of God, the provision of God through Jesus Christ who loves them. And you give them the authority of the word of God who's inspired and is profitable. Tell them, you know what? I want you to know because I care for you and I love you. You can send an article on those things. They probably already know it, but this is what God's word has to say. This is what God's word has to say, and I want you to know truth, and I don't want you to be deceived. And there's power in the word of God. I've already talked to one listener about this in caller. There's power in the word of God, and there's power in the gospel, and let it do its work. And pray for them that their hearts may be softened and their eyes opened up to it. But see, the problem is they see the Pope as their spiritual authority. And we want them to say, you know, hey, we want them to understand that this is God's word. And it doesn't matter what the Pope or any spiritual guru or any religious leader, any pastor, any evangelist says, the word of God is our final authority. And there's warning in the word of God. And the word of God is inspired, as Paul says, all of it is God-breathed and put to the page. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what we must do, is we must give people the word of God, speak the truth in love, pray for them, give them the cross, the gospel, because there's power in that. And love them enough, and you are. That's why you're sending these articles to them. And let the word of God do its work in their hearts. So I hope that's an encouragement that you keep doing
that. The Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to you? Why do you hate the Catholic Church so much? And it's like, I don't hate the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's, you know, and I give them the gospel about repentance. I gave them the gospel of not worshiping idols, you know, and they just don't.
Just keep praying.
That's what I'm going to do. I just have to keep praying.
You have to keep praying and, you know, keep praying to them and keep giving them. The Bible says, Paul writes something, it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And, you know, I said I grew up in a Catholic church and, you know, whether it's the Catholic Church or a lot of other people that think they're a Christian because they think if I do the sacraments that I'm saved, right? Pray to, you know, if I am a good person, I belong to the church, I'm saved. Give them Jesus. Keep giving them Jesus and let the Lord do its work in their hearts. That's where you're at. And, you know, do it with a tender heart because we can get very emotional about it. We can, you know, they can get very defensive about it, but just keep giving them the gospel. Don't make it so much about the Catholic Church. Make it about Jesus, because here's where it's going to make the difference. Not so much focusing on what you don't believe, focus on what you do believe. And I think that as you do that and keep reminding them of that, then the Holy Spirit's going to do that work in their hearts as well. So, you know, that's just, you know, focus on what you do believe. And that's so important because they know what you know, you don't believe. Whenever that something said or new decree, you know, or whatever comes out, tell them what you do believe. Tell them what you do believe, that Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants you to come to him. Make it about the cross of Jesus and that he saved you. You know, none of the saints didn't. Mary didn't save you. The Pope didn't save you. It's Jesus alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. And keep giving them that, what it is that you know to be true. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, that is awesome. Okay. Yeah.
Can I pray for you?
Oh, please do. Yes, thank you.
I pray for my sister. She cares for her family. And Lord, I pray you give her the words to speak to them, that you would draw them to you, that you would draw them to you to know you and the truth of God's word, to keep giving them the gospel. There's power in the gospel and power in the word of God. And I just pray that they would come to salvation. And Lord, that their authority isn't in a religious leader. Their authority is with you. God breathed the written word of God put to the page. And Lord, the gospel that Jesus died for them. So may you give her wisdom. I pray that salvation would come to her family, to those that she's ministering to this Christmas, this new year. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you,
You're
Pastor
welcome.
Jeff.
You bet.
We'll have a joyous Christmas. And thank you so much for doing this show every
you
week.
Bet.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You keep in touch, okay?
All right. Will do. Thank you so much.
You bet. Absolutely. 303-690-3000 is the call-in number. Text line 720-336-0897. Connie's been waiting. Connie, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you for holding.
Oh.
You're on Calvary Live.
You're welcome. Oh, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I might lose you. I'm in out in the country road, so I hope I don't lose you, but I'll try to make this quick.
Okay, you be careful.
I need prayer for my marriage. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. My husband and I have, well, there's been a lot of domestic violence in our marriage, and we've only been married a year and a half. And it started on our honeymoon, actually, and it's been going on. And right now, there's a protection order against my husband and for assault. And he's assaulted me more than once, and I just need prayer that God would make this all go away so we can be together again.
Yeah.
And he's a Christian.
Yeah, you're in a very difficult place, Connie, and you have the right to be in a place where you're safe. And Lord, I do pray for Connie as she began to cut out. But Lord, as she's driving, keep her safe. And Lord, her heart is broken. I pray for her marriage. I pray her husband would repent from the abusive action. And Lord, that even as she said he's a Christian, Lord, that that he would come to know truly what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a godly man, and is not abuse. It is not that at all, that it is wrong. And Lord, that he would repent from it, and that you keep her safe, first of all. But Lord, in this process that she's waiting for you to work, Lord, I just pray that you'd minister to her this Christmas. And Lord, that there truly would be repentance on his part, and that we know that you desire for there to be restoring of this marriage. And Lord, however long it takes, truly there would be a place where he would love her, and that he would be gentle, and that he would cherish her. And so, Lord, I just pray for Connie right now, who's hurting. And I pray for their marriage. I pray for a miracle. And I just pray that you'd minister to her heart, knowing that you care for her. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Connie, I'm so sorry.
Amen.
Okay, absolutely. All right. 303-690-3000 is the call-in number. Text line 720-336-0897. Let's see where we're at. We do have open lines. Brian, let's go to Texas. Hey, you're on Calvary Live.
Hello.
How are you?
So I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
So I have a question about the Bible and if it speaks anything against AI. I can't help but to think that it's something evil. It's a knowledge that's not of man or God. I just feel like it's evil. But just doing a quick Google search, everything I looked up seems to be put out of context. You know, they might have a verse here or there, but as you read into it, it just seems like it's out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how you felt about it.
About AI? You know, yes. That's, and it's a good question, and it's something that we as pastors are going to be growing and learning about, because I don't even fully understand what all of AI is. I think the younger people do. We were having a discussion, my kids and I, about it the other day, what AI does. But I will say this, that anytime anything technology like that, and I hear there's some things that are scary, I just don't know enough about it. There's been some speculation that AI can be used in the last days. We know that the Antichrist is going to set up an image of himself, and this image is going to seem alive. Is that going to include AI? I don't know. He's going to be an economic leader where he's going to demand that the world worship him and the image. And we know that he is going to make it to where if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you will not be able to buy or sell. Is AI a part of that? I don't know. What's the image that he's going to set up in the temple? I don't think it's just a statue of himself. It's going to seem like it's alive, is what the book of Revelation seems to indicate to us. So as in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, it was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It just seems like, could AI be a part of that? I don't know for sure. But I also know this, that whenever, and you know this to be true, that whenever technology comes out, like when the World Wide Web came out, or when social media began, the platforms came out, Satan will always use it for his advantage. And so you can be certain that as AI, whatever that means, whatever technology comes out, that Satan will do everything he can to use it for his advantage. Of course he will. And because he uses everything, he tries to pollute everything. He tries to use whatever man has to deceive. So we can be certain that he will do that. And because he's done that with social media, hasn't he? He's done that with, the technology. It's just, you know, you see his handprint and footprint into everything that is in culture and stuff. So I would not be surprised if we see this and it's used for evil purposes as man advances it for his purposes. What do you think?
That's kind of on the same track that I was. I just, looking through the Bible, I just was unable to find any verses that really just directly related to AI that said, hey, look, this is what we're talking about, you know, anything like that.
Do you understand AI pretty well? Because for me, this is a new subject. This is a new thing that's being talked about. And I really want to look into it, those kinds of things. But man, it sounds like a scary thing. It's advancing quickly. It's complicated. So that's where we're at in the world today.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand of AI and everything, I mean, you basically give a computer a task and
right.
It uses all the resources it can get, and it just pretty much learns this task all on its own. And, you know, in my mind, I really think that it could really advance past our knowledge even. You know, it could be to where they could end up being the computers are, well, they already kind of are smarter than us, but literally smarter than us, you know, not just in a...
They rule the world.
Yeah,
right?
Not just in a theoretical sense, though. I really think that, you know, as it moves on and as it progresses, especially if man's not careful, that it really could get out of hand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can be certain that that Satan will use it for his purposes and his evil purposes. And, you know, it's a scary thing. So we're going to see, and there's a lot of talk about legislation that will, you know, regulate it and manage it. And so we're going to learn a lot about it as we head into 2024. So, but if any verses pop out at you, be sure to share it with us.
Oh, all right. All right.
Okay.
I do have one verse here, and maybe you could fill in some of the blanks right here, but I got James 3, verse 15, and it says, This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
I've used that verse a lot, you know, when it comes to, you know, how people conduct themselves, how they, you know, they're when it comes to conflict and things like that, it's not going to be confusing. It's going to be worldly. And James writes about it. It's a good guideline to see heavenly wisdom versus godly wisdom. And the enemy, his wisdom is going to be one that's going to bring, you know, earthly, sensual, demonic, where there's envy and self-seeking exists, confusion in everything. So I wouldn't say that it specifically speaks of AI, but it is a broader sense, how we receive things, how we deal with things. In godly wisdom that's being used or that is being presented or being practiced, or if it's demonic wisdom. So, hey, Brian, you know, we're going to find out and keep searching the scripture. And as we get into the new year, if anything pops out at you that you're wondering about, be sure to let us know. But in the meantime, you have a Merry Christmas. God bless you. We're going to try to get some other phone calls before the end of the hour. Let's go to Wani in Strasburg. Wani, are you there?
I am. Hello,
hey.
Dear one. It is always so wonderful to hear your voice. And
thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
For your ministry.
You bet.
I worked for the last, 23 years, I've worked with a young lady who's intellectually disabled. She does live independently. she's scheduled to fly to Wichita on Friday, and she's sick. She has a stomach virus. She's throwing up. She has a fever, and I'm just really praying. I'm praying and bleed. I know God's the healer, but for me to have to cancel Kim's trip would be so terrible for her. She doesn't understand. It's be like a young child, and she doesn't understand. You know, why can't I go? Why can't you get me another flight? Why can't you go? So just prayers for peace for Kimmy, and that I have the words to say if I have to cancel her trip.
Poor thing. That's hard. Father, I do pray for Kimmy. And as Wani is trying to minister to her, bring just comfort to her and calmness, that you would do that to her heart. And she can make this trip, and she can make this flight. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring healing to her, bring comfort to her. Lord, touch her mentally, just physically, emotionally, spiritually, that it just may work out. So Lord, we ask for you to step in and Lord, minister in a way that needs to be for her, for Kimmy, and Lord, and at a time where it's where it's hard to understand everything that's going on, she's trying to process it, that you would just give her a peace that passes understanding in her heart right now. And Lord, I just pray for Wani, that you give her the words to continue to minister to her. I pray for my sister. I pray for Wani, that you bless her Christmas and her new year. I thank you for her heart, that she cares for people, desires to pray for them. And Lord, just continue to use her in that way to be a great encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, dear one. And have a blessed, blessed holiday with
you
your
too.
Congregation and your flock and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. Hey, let's try to get Vivian in. Pleasantville, New Jersey. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. God bless you. I was just listening on the radio, and I heard you talk about, somebody asked you a question about when we die and when Jesus comes, we're going to transform our body into heavenly body. I was wondering, what does it mean when they say the meek will inherit the earth?
Yeah, you're asking good questions, and you're listening to last week's broadcast because it's a week delayed. You're listening on Hope FM, I assume, and it's a week delayed. But we're probably having a conversation about the rapture of the church and the resurrection. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was, you know, it's the longest teaching of Jesus. He gives a teaching of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he is speaking to them these blessings, the Beatitudes. And he's saying the meek. The word meek means pretty much strength under control. It means a gentle spirit. And so Jesus is saying, blessed, oh, how happy is the one who has a gentle spirit, who strength under control. Matter of fact, when Jesus stood on the hillside up in Galilee, he would cry out, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and come learn of me, for I am gentle, or I am meek. And it's the one time that he describes his character as being meek, gentle. And Jesus was meek and gentle. And the Bible says that blessed are those who are meek, those who have a gentle spirit, because the Lord's going to bless, not somebody who's trying to lord over others, rule over others. And Jesus would expand that teaching to his disciples and say, listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you must be the servant of all. For the meek shall inherit the earth, you know, that... you know, in a sense, God's not going to allow his meek ones to end up on the short end of the deal, that we belong to a kingdom that lasts forever. We're going to rule and reign with him. It is something that we know that it's not natural for us to be meek, is it? But It is the work of God, and there's blessing for the spiritual man that is meek. And Jesus is saying, you shall inherit the earth. In other words, you're going to be with him. We're going to rule and reign with him in the millennium reign. We're going to be ones that we're not going to be on the short end of the stick. Man's rule is going to come to an end. Isn't that true, Vivian? All the rulers, all the emperors, all the Caesars, you know, all those who tyrants, they're not going to rule. It's going to be the meek, the ones who humble themselves to God and has a gentle spirit. They are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. And so that's what Jesus is simply speaking about.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, exactly. So we are to be meek. And meek, here's the thing, Vivian. Meekness does not mean weakness at all. Some people think that if I'm meek, they kind of picture, you know, I'm just kind of weak and all of this. No, it takes a lot of strength to be meek, to just have a gentle spirit, be led by the Lord and trust in the Lord. It is strength under control. And the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's not out of control. It's not lording over others. It's not, you know, being overbearing, but meekness. And Jesus says there's blessing in that, and there's blessing in it, and there's going to be reward in that as well as we humble ourselves and are meek and we come to Christ realizing our need for him. So, hey, Vivian, good question. Keep listening.
Thank you so much.
God bless you and have a wonderful Christmas.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. Always love to hear from everyone on the East Coast, Hope FM. Hey, my radio program, Under the Fig Tree, is now airing at 8 o'clock, an hour from the program that you hear. It's now 7 o'clock out there. And so Under the Fig Tree, a study in Daniel. Incredible study. Listen to it. Love to hear your feedback. But God bless you. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Had a great show today. I appreciate everybody that called in. Have a wonderful evening.
You've been listening to Calvary Live. Tune in next time for prayer and God's Word.